Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sabbath to everyone. Good morning. I greet you from Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries. I pray that everybody had a blessed evening and that you have gotten the prescribed rest in the Most High and that you have been in His Word and you have been before Him. We are going to be doing from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36 this morning. Yah says that He would have pity for his holy name, himself, because of how Israel treated him in the past. And so we're looking at how our forefathers treated him, but what the Most High also promises to himself and to Israel. And we as his people, you know, we want to have hope. We want to be able to look on the Most High in a positive manner, and that he is going to do what he says he's going to do, you know, period. But we don't want to look at it in a false light, because, you know, the scripture says that we must look at him in spirit and in truth. And so he wants us to know the truth about him. He wants us to know what he says he's going to do and what he's not going to do. And the promises that he has made to Israel, we want to know and believe that they are sure. But we got to know that they are sure to those that are faithful to him. So a lot of times we read the scriptures and, you know, it's almost like we want the Most High to keep his word, even if we don't keep ours. And we want, you know, we want the reward, even if we don't do what it takes to qualify for the reward. And the Most High in his word sees that. And so his word is faithful. And he's going to do what he said he's going to do, but it's to his faithful. It's to those that truly love him. And, you know, the Most High will make a promise to you, as we read on last night. He made a promise to the children of Israel that I was going to take all of you into the promised land. I was going to take all of you into the promised land. Everybody that I brought out of Egypt, I have promised to take into the promised land, into a land flowing with milk and honey. But because of the people themselves, because they were so hard-hearted and stiff-necked and just always murmuring and complaining, they couldn't fast for a little while and eat manna. They wanted they wanted the stuff that they had left behind in Egypt, the leeks and the garlic and the melons and the cucumbers and the fish. And the Most High says, I'm taking you to a land that has an abundance. All you got to do is be patient. This manna will sustain you. It will keep you. You will not lack for anything. But they just wanted to complain. We miss this. We miss Egypt. I'm promising you something better than Egypt. And you can't wait on it. And so, you know, the lesson here for us is, no matter how it might look, you got to know and believe and walk in that the promises of the Most High are sure. And what he says, he promises his people that he really does and is going to do it. Even if it don't look like it to you, he's going to do it. And so this lack of faith in Israel and our forefathers caused them to lose their job, caused them to lose the promised land, caused the first group not even to enter in. And the biggest part of this is cause the Most High to breach his promise. I'm going to break my word. I'm going to break my word. Okay? And so when he says that he will have pity on his own name, it's because Israel never respected his name. The people that he chose never honored him. And so we want to read about that this morning, okay? And we want to understand, because going forward, we as his people, you know, if you understand what went on, then surely you can do, you can correct. We can correct our own behavior in regard to the Most High. and not make the same mistakes that our forefathers made. And it wasn't just Israel, because Israel was a mixed multitude. So it wasn't just the Hebrew. But it was all the other nations that came along too. Now we know, and they're mainly identified as Egyptian, but Egypt was a multicultural government or society within itself. Egypt was a powerhouse, and there were people who lived in Egypt from all over the world. And so some of these people may not have just been, Egyptians, but they could have been, from Mesopotamia. They could have been from Europe. They could have been from the United States or the Americas. Could have been from the Far East, because Egypt was a multicultural society within itself. Okay, and all of the world used to come to Egypt to learn. Matter of fact, all the mathematics that the Greeks claim to have, when you go back and you study history, they got it from the Egyptians. Okay, but they took credit for it. And so we got to understand that the Most High's word is good. For real, for real. And what he doesn't like is when we doubt him. And this is this is the biggest mistake that our forefathers made from the very beginning. From the very beginning. So we want to take a look at this on this morning and understand that we don't want to make the same mistakes our forefathers made. We should not have this book have the written history say that we are the people of the Most High, and we don't look and see where they messed up at and what the Most High expected out of them, and then we still get it wrong. That would be a travesty. That is tragic. So we don't want to do that. Okay? We, his people, we don't want to get it wrong. We want to get right what our forefathers got wrong. And so we'll be looking at on this morning. One of the things that what this is actually doing for me is it's actually helping me to know and to walk in the things that the Most High has told me to do. Because sometimes you might say, did you really tell me that? Because sometimes you might see things and be like, okay, it's not quite how I saw that, or not quite how I thought I saw it. But nevertheless, I got to walk in faith with the Most High. And I got to believe, that he's going to do what he has put in my heart to do. He's going to cause it to come to pass. And so we're going to be faithful to that. And I'm looking at our people when it says in the book of Romans, and then we'll get started this morning, but when it says in the book of Romans, I believe chapter 10 or 11, that the Gentile came to Yah out of faith, but Israel lacked faith, and this is what the problem was. With Israel. They lacked faith. They just didn't believe the Most High. Even, here's the crux, is even when they saw the miracles. They saw him split the Red Sea. They saw the firstborn in Egypt, all the firstborn in Egypt die. They saw him, make it pitch black. They saw the frogs. They saw the water turn to blood. They saw everything that the Most High did. They saw the water come out of the rock, out of flint, a rock that usually makes fire. Water came out of it. So that he said, you saw these things, and still you doubt me. Still you have no faith. still you murmur and complain. So even when the people got the negative report back from the 10 that came, you know, went in the back from the 12, that 10 of them came back with a negative report when they went to spy out the land. Sent 12 in, 10 came back with a negative report. It's giants. We can't take it. We be like grasshoppers to them. Their cities are walled and enforced. The people are mighty. But Caleb and Joshua came back and said, we can take the land. With the Most High, we can take it. So don't doubt. But the people still doubted. And then they conspired. We're gonna actually do Moses and Caleb, Moses and Aaron in. We're going to elect us a new leader. And then we're going to go back to Egypt. Okay, so this lack of faith runs all through our history. It started from the beginning, but it went through our history time and time again. And every time we doubt it, the Most High would send us into a captivity. So we as a people have been in captivity more than we've been free. In the last captivity, the Most High said, you know what? This one's going to last a while, and you're going to be, I'm going to put this nature on you because this is what you've shown me. But he's still going to take a remnant of us. And so for me, you know, I can't speak for everyone else, but for me, to be a diligent student and read our history and don't learn from it, and don't correct my behavior, for me, that says there's something wrong with me. And that, you know, do I really feel like this is worth this if I don't correct my behavior? If I don't do those things that what the Most High asks. If I don't do different than our forefathers, if I don't correct what got us scattered to begin with, see, that's insanity. Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity. And so we are insane. As a people, I'm going to just say it straight up. We got problems, and we've been saying it, but we are insane. We got mental problems. Claiming to be the people of the Most High and still doing the same thing, expecting a different result. That's insanity. And so no wonder the nations look at us like we crazy. If the Most High has awakened you and the Most High has assured you and reaffirmed in your spirit that you are Israel, then you must wake up and change. You must wake up and not continue to do the things that caused our people to get scattered, that caused the Most High to abandon us, to cut us off. Because see, we don't, you know, people don't really look at that word. It amazes me. Like, it's like we're blind to that word. I have cut you off. It means you are separated from me. You are no longer part of me. And when we find this out, then we have to surely know that we got to come back to him the way that he says to come back. Can't just make up something and say, oh yeah, well, we're now the people. No, you got to do what the Most High said to do. It's on his terms, not on ours. So on this morning, Because, you know, it's a shame. It really is a shame that the Most High has to pity his own name. I selected a people to be my people, and they won't honor my name. That is just, when you think about it, it is sad and it is crazy. But we still want the blessings. We still want all the blessings. We want to get into the kingdom. We want eternal life in paradise. We want to be blessed whatever we put our hands to. But I want us to really, you know, like I said, this is not just for the Hebrew. This is for everybody that wants to be part of Israel. Because the truth of the matter is, even the Gentiles have failed in what the Most High told them to do. So all have fallen short. That's why he says, I have determined to all to be under sin. And I think if I have time, I'll go get that this morning. So that we understand that I don't really care what everybody else is doing. I really don't. I want to reach out to them. I want to say, hey, wake up. But he says, save yourself. So I don't care what he shows me. I can only tell you, and you save yourself. That's all I can do. And I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care who's popular. Because being popular won't get you into the kingdom. And when I look at these scriptures, when I'm going through the scriptures, most of the people of the Most High walked alone. For the vast majority of them, they walked alone. So I don't expect big crowds. I don't expect large groups. The Most High, whomever he sends, and however many he sends. I don't really care what everybody else is doing. I don't really care what everybody else is saying. For the simple reason, when I'm looking at their actions, when I'm looking at what they are teaching, when I'm looking at what they are conveying, they are doing the same things, just a little bit different than what our forefathers did. So how can we be doing the same things or similar and expect a different outcome? Expect a different, a different outcome, period. Can't. So we're going to go ahead and move forward this morning. I pray that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High. I pray that your heart is open. I pray that you can hear, like I said on last night, during the Bible study, when we're reading, still reviewing in Numbers, and the Most High, you know, said that the people caused him to break his word. You have to be awfully stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And then without repenting, when the Most High said, I'm not taking you in, all of y'all going to die in the wilderness, then they want to jump up and run and try to take a city on their own. We believe you now, but didn't repent because the Most High had already pronounced judgment. All of you going to die. 20 years old and older, you're going to die in the wilderness. Oh, no, we're going to run over there now. We believe you, but you didn't believe me before. Now I tell you, you all going to die in the wilderness. Now you want to get your butt up and run over there and try to take something that you couldn't take by yourself. the one, the very one you were supposed to be relying on, the Most High, he said, I'm not with you now. My judgment is against you. You have no faith. You don't believe in me. So don't get up and run over there now. Moses told, hey, don't go over there now. The Most High ain't with you. And they went over there anyway. And this is what a lot of people do, especially when they start feeling that, you know, wait a minute. Feels like the Most High has abandoned me. I better get right. But it's by that time, it's too late. And so we don't want to be that people. So I pray that we can hear this and that we are serious. And I don't, like I said, I don't care what anybody else is saying or doing. We've got to get in. And the only way to get in is to do what he says to do. And to believe in him with everything. Put our faith in him. He's going to see it through. What he says he's going to do, he's going to do it. What he has promised, he was going to complete it. So let us do our statement of faith. Let us usher in the Most High. Hallelujah. Let us usher in our Elohim. With the blowing of the shofar. Put us your peace.
have mercy upon me. Oh yeah, I am weak. I am so weary. I watered my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed cause of grief for so many years. Every day I throw my prayers up. I never did get an answer. Could it be that you are angry with me? I still praise you according to your righteousness. How excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Yah, reveal yourself to me. Show me the way I'm supposed to be. Yah, you are my shield, my glory. This around my head, Yah, you sustain me. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Show me the way I'm supposed to be. Yah,
in my times of trouble, you are the king. There's no other besides you. You are my redeemer from the ones I was sold to. And I am so grateful that we're the apple of your eye. And you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my strength, and you are my deliverer. So how long shall we bear this oppression? I call on your name right now.
Yah, reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself
me.
To
show
me.
Show me the way I'm supposed to
supposed
be.
Supposed to
be.
Yah, reveal yourself to me. Please reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Oh, 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 oh. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Yah, reveal yourself.
Found in your name, I have a strength.
Cover their heads, men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us lift up a hand clap of praise to our Most High on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. We lift you up on this morning, Father. We glorify you. We magnify your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that we have done wickedly. And Father, we are repenting of our sins, and we're turning from our wicked ways. And we're beseeching you, Father, that our testimony will be that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High. Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. Father, hear our supplications. Hear our prayers. Look at the heart of your people. Deliver us from this captivity. Return unto us and be with us. For we desire, Father, to serve you with our whole heart, to do what it is that you have asked your people to do. Father, to honor our word to you, that we will obey. We will hear your voice, Father, and we will do what you say to do. We believe you. We know that your word is good. And Father, we don't want to walk in doubt or unbelief. Deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for the seed of Abraham. We pray for all those that are still asleep. We pray for those that are awake, that all would come and hear your voice and obey. That we would not doubt you, but that we would serve you with our whole hearts, knowing that your word is good, Father. We don't want you to have to breach your promise to us, your people. We don't want you to have to break your word because of our stiff-necked and our hard-heartedness. So come, Yah. Be with thy people. Deliver us. Gather us to yourself, that we might serve you with our whole heart, all of our substance, with everything that we are. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings. And we're going to be in chapter 8, but we're going to start in verse 5. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 5, the dedication of the temple and the prayer that Solomon made for all Israel and even for the stranger. Anyone who will fear the Most High and worship him in spirit and in truth. Starting in verse 5. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, and sacrificed sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of Yah unto his place and into the oracles of the house. Into the oracles of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staffs thereof above. And they drew out the staffs, that the ends of the staffs were seen out in the holy place before the oracle. And there they were not, and they were not seen without. There they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when Yah made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of Yah, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of Yah had filled the house of Yah. Then spake Solomon. Yah said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be Yah Elohim of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and has with his hand fulfilled his saying. Since the day I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of Yah, Elohim of Israel. And Yah said unto David my father, Whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son shall come forth out of thy loins. He shall build the house unto my name. And Yah has performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as Yah promised, and have built the house for the name of Yah, Elohim of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark wherein is the covenant of Yah, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of Yah in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Yah Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim like thee in heaven above or on the earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him. Thou speakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Yah Elohim of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel. So that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O Elohim of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will Elohim indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. O Yah, my Elohim, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. That thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place which thou hast said, My name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justify the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive sin, forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sins of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, that they may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto Yah, toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, that as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. And it was so, that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto Yah, he arose from before the altar of Yah, from kneeling on his knees, with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be Yah, that has given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. This is what this precept is really about today. Solomon has told us in his prayer that Yah delivered on his promises. Every word that he said, he fulfilled it. And so even when Israel, when all those who died in the wilderness because of their unbelief, because of their stiff neck and their hard-heartedness, the Most High still kept his word to the children. He says, the children that you say that I should bring out into the wilderness and they be made a prey, those are the one I'm going to save. All the rest of you are going to die in the wilderness. He kept his promise to the children. And Yah wants to keep his promise to the generations, to the end. But he's only going to keep that promise to those that return to him with their whole heart, that believe him, that don't look at their circumstance, that don't get caught up in the wiles of this world. Those that respect the name of the Most High. Those that show that they love him by keeping his commandments. He's going to keep his word to them. But to all those that breach the covenant, who think that we can just run around and just continue to sin, and he will just forgive us, who have perverted his word, who are contrary to the Most High, who want victory, but don't want to really have to fight the battle, just want it handed to them, don't want to do what the Most High said to do. The promise is not to them. And they have taken on the promise as though it belongs to them. Let us go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. This is where our precept is based out of on this morning. And we're going to read verse 21, and then we're going to start off back again with verse 1. Okay? We're going to read verse 21, and then we're going to start again back at verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 21. And this is the Most High speaking. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither, wherever they went. It is our forefathers and us as his people by our disobedience to the Most High, by our lack of faith in the Most High, and at the same time claiming that he was our Elohim, that he was our God, that caused the nations to profane his name. So we have to understand that as a people, we can't say one thing and then do another. We can't claim to be the people of the Most High And then don't obey his voice. Because by doing so, we cause the nations to profane his name, to disrespect him, to say stuff that they ought not utter out of their mouth. Even to challenge his people. So let us go back to verse 1 and let's see what the Most High says on this matter. Why he has to pity his holy name, his own name. Because it's a sad thing. And we, his people, there is no way that we should be puffed up at all. No way that we should be puffed up and say, oh, we're the people of the Most High. We are better than you. The Most High says, if you obey my voice and obey and keep my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will place you above all the other nations. But if you don't, I'll make you the bottom. And we find ourselves on the bottom and we hate it, but we won't do what the Most High said to do. We don't want to be on the bottom. We don't want people to treat us any kind of way. We don't want them shooting us down like we're dogs in the street and then never holding themselves accountable. We don't want them paying us less than they pay everybody else. You know, we get a $20 an hour job or a $40 an hour job. Trust me, whatever they are paying us, they're making more. But it seems good to us. But we're still on the bottom. And we don't like that. But we don't want to do what the Most High said to do. We don't want to honor his name. We don't want to obey his voice. We don't want to keep his commandments. We even saying we're keeping them. You know, and I call brothers all the time, and it's the Sabbath, and they're out doing something they ain't supposed to be doing. I'm like, I can understand extenuating circumstances. What I don't understand is when you can keep it, and there is no extenuating circumstance, and you have no excuse. Well, I needed to go do this. No, you needed to be honoring the Most High. So, Ezekiel chapter 36, starting in verse 1. Also, son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yah. Thus saith Yah Elohim, because the enemy has said against you, aha, even the ancient places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith Yah Elohim, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen. And you are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are in my and in an infamy of the people. Therefore, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yah Elohim. Thus saith Yah Elohim to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, and to the desolate wastes, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Let's look up this word, derision. The act of laughing at in contempt. The nations were looking at the land of the Most High, looking at the people of the Most High. And because the Most High had abandoned Israel because of their hard-heartedness, because of their lack of faith, the heathen got big-headed. We have come and we have taken Israel, the land, as a prey. And they were doing it with contempt in their heart, with a smirk on their face, with scorn. And the Most High says, I'm allowing this to happen, but I'm not happy about this. Because the only reason that this is because my people were disobedient. Now the heathen has this smirk on his face, like as though he had power to take my land. As though he's become powerful or something. When you feared me and my people. But because of the stiff neck and the hard-headedness and the sin of my people, I have abandoned them and this land for a minute. And so he's saying that the heathen has come in and saying, oh, we have taken this. And they're doing it with an attitude, with disdain for the Most High. Your God ain't nothing. You people are nothing. We come in and squashed you like you are nothing. Let's continue to read. And derision. And they're saying this to who? Who are they talking this smack to? Who are they telling this to? To the residue of the heathen that are round about Israel. Look and see what we have done. We have come in and taken their high places. We have conquered the people. We have conquered their God. Therefore, thus saith Yah Elohim, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea. Idumea is actually Esau and his descendants. Because what they did was to help the heathen to take over Israel. But that would not even be the problem if it wasn't for Israel itself. But you know, your brother, remember, Esau is our brother. That's why I say when our brothers try to make Esau somebody else, what is wrong with you? How two twins going to come out of the womb? They might become two different people, but they're still brothers. They're still blood. And the Most High looks at when your brother helps somebody else to overcome you, to conquer you, to take you as a slave, it's an impardonable act. It's a death sentence. Especially for all those who are of that mindset. So not all of Idumea will end up in the lake, but the vast majority of them will. And more than likely, 99.9% chance they look just like you and I. Everybody that says that they're Israel, ain't Israel. Everybody that says that they're Israel and looks like Israel ain't Israel. And that's why we have this crab mentality. We can't stand to see one or the other get up and do anything. If we see somebody trying to accomplish something, we got that crab mentality. We'll grab them by the foot and try to keep them from accomplishing anything. We'll come against each other. Why is that? Because we're tribal? No, because all of us don't have the same spirit. All of us are not Jacob. Some of us are Esau. Some of us got the heart and the spirit of Esau. So the Most High has come against the residue of the heathen and against all Idumea. All those who got that spirit of Esau, that they despise their birthright. Even today, don't take it seriously. And if you do, they will come against you. They will call you a heretic. Let's keep moving. Which have appointed my land and to their possession, with joy of all their heart, with the spiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey. So the Most High is simply saying to us, he's speaking to the land, and he's not speaking to the people. He's not speaking to Israel, the people. He's speaking to the land. He's speaking to the land of Israel, his possession. And he's prophesying to the land. And he's saying the heathen is saying they can just take you over because you are desolate. How is it desolate? See, a lot of times we think that desolation means nothing is in the land. No, desolation means two things. The Most High is either not there or his people are not there. So he has scattered us. And we are all over the world and we're not in the land. And the land is still desolate. It's absent of us. And it's absent of the Most High. This is what that desolation really means. So when we see that the land is desolate, brothers are looking for the land to be like a desert. Nothing growing there, nobody in it, no animals anywhere. It's not what that means in the scriptures. It can sometime, but when you go back and you actually really study and you ask the Most High to reveal it to you, if you really pay attention, he's talking about it's desolate of us. We are missing. We're supposed to be there. But we're not. The Most High is supposed to be there. It's his land. But he's not. It's desolate of the Holy One of Israel and of his people. So he said the nations come in because the Most High left Israel, the land, and he abandoned the people and he caused us to get taken captive. For a reason. We're going to read that. We're going to read why this is. But we have to understand what's going on here. And what these words mean. To put us in the proper perspective. Verse 5. Therefore, thus saith Yah Elohim, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Idumea, which I have appointed my land into their possession. See, which have appointed my land into their possession. This land belongs to the Most High. You going to come and claim it? You going to be bold enough? Your forefathers know who the Most High is. The heathen knows who the Most High is. They know whose land this is. But they're going to come and claim it. With joy of all their heart, with the spiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey, like you took it, like it was an animal that you are capturing that is defenseless. verse 6. Prophesy, therefore, concerning the land of Israel. He didn't say the people. He said the land. And say unto the mountains and unto the hills and to the rivers and to the valleys, thus saith Yah Elohim, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Who? You have borne. The land has borne the shame of the heathen. You got the heathen running around on holy land, disrespecting it. That's the whole reason the Most High brought the nation of Israel into the land. When we go back into Exodus or Genesis, I believe it's the latter part of Exodus. And he's bringing the people to the land, and he tells Moses and he tells the people, don't do as the people in the land do, because everything that they do I have already determined to be an abomination. So you're going to go in and clean up the land. This is my land. The land that I'm bringing you to, the holy land, the promised land, is my land. This is the same land that Melchizedek was in. Jerusalem, king of Salem, king of peace. This is the Most High's land. This is the land he is the king in. And the heathen has taken it over, and they're worshiping everything but him. They have gone astray. And it has been taken over. He says, now I've made you a nation to bring you back into the land to clean it up. And when we go back and we look at the instructions that he gave our forefathers going into the land, he said, I want you to clean up all their abomination, every altar, every high place, every temple, everything that they have that they use to worship other gods. I want you to take it out and burn it. Tear it down. Clean up the land. And if your people, any of your people, talk about worshiping another god, kill them. You kill your own people who talk about worshiping another god, because this is what this people in this land, in my land, have done. My land is fruitful. It brings forth abundantly because I look over it. That's why he was mad when they believed the ill report, because of there's giants in the land. There are mighty cities in the land. Most of us says, I know that. And all these people used to worship me. But they became an abomination to me. And so I went and raised up another people, another priesthood, my inheritance in the earth to myself, to inherit my land. So I want you to go and clean it up. Now, this is what we were created for. But he's saying now the land has what? Borne the shame of the heathen. This is after Israel was created. This is after he brought our forefathers into the promised land. This is after we were supposed to clean it up. And he's making a promise to the land. You ain't going to always be defiled. You ain't going to always suffer bloodshed. We're going to read these things. This is a promise to the land. And then he's going to talk about his people. Okay? The last part of verse 6 again. Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith Yah Elohim, I have lifted up my hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches. Yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are at hand to come. This is a future thing, because what we're about to read is why this stuff is. So this is a promise. He's saying, to you, O land Israel, you mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I'm for the land. This is my possession. This is the place of my rest. See, this is what people don't understand when the Most High says that you shall not enter into my rest. His rest is his people. His rest is his land. His rest is Zion. It's his kingdom. It's the place that he inhabits. And so we got to understand, he's talking to the land right now, and he says, and you shall be tilled, and you shall be sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be built. And I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. Now, when he's talking about man and beast, he's talking about the righteous seed of Israel. Those that overcome. Those that will have faith in him. Even the Gentile. This is who he's talking about here. This is a future event. So let's prove that out. And I will multiply upon you man and beast. And they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates. And will do better unto you than your beginnings. And you shall know that I am Yah. When Israel went to visit, to spy out the promised land, and the cluster of grapes that they brought back was so big that two men had to carry it. That heavy. That was just a sample. He says, I'm going to make you better than that. I will settle after you the old estates and will do better unto you than your beginnings. Even when Israel saw it and saw the blessings that were in the land, even at that time, it was not even the best it could be. And you shall know that I am Yah. Yeah, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel. And they shall possess you, and you shall be their inheritance. And thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men, be sorry of them of men, because men are being killed in you. There's not going to be any more bloodshed in you. This is a future event. Thus saith Yah Elohim, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations. Therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith Yah Elohim. So there's coming a time in the future that the Most High is going to bring Israel back into the land. And it's going to be a righteous Israel. It's going to be a faithful Israel. It's going to be the remnant. Those that hear his voice and obey. He's going to multiply them on the land. And he's going to bless the land abundantly. Better than it was blessed before. Ever been. And he says, ain't going to be no death there. Let's keep moving. Neither will I cause men to hear thee in the shame of the heathen anymore. Ain't going to be none of the nations, those that don't believe in him, those that worship other things. They're not going to be in the land anymore. They're not going to say how they conquered us as a people. They're not going to be able to talk smack. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people anymore. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall anymore, saith Yah Elohim. Now he's still talking to the land. Moreover, the word of Yah came unto me, saying. Now all of this that we read from verse 1 to 15 is a promise to the land. The promised land. The holy land that has been defiled. That we got 25% of the people living in it right now, or greater, are gay. And saying that they are the children of the Most High. These are not the children of the Most High. These are the heathen, the Gentile nations. Idumea by spirit. Don't care about a birthright. Say they believe in the Most High. Some of them say they believe in Messiah. Even our own brothers and sisters who said they returned back into the land did not return into the land to do what the Most High said that we are supposed to do. You can't tolerate this stuff in the land. But we ain't got no power. Then you shouldn't be there. Verse 16. Now he's going to talk about the people. He's going to talk about our forefathers and us. Moreover, the word of Yah came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanliness of a removed woman, a woman on her cycle. Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. This is what our forefathers did. Shed blood, shed innocent blood on the land, brought in the idols of Molech and Ishtar and all these other false gods. And they kept choosing these false gods over and over and over again. Even to King Solomon and the kings and the priests. They built altars, put up altars to other Elohims in the house of the Most High. And polluted the land and defiled it. Polluted the house of the Most High and defiled it. Shed their own brother's blood. And I scattered them among the heathen. And they were dispersed throughout the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, when our forefathers said to the heathen that they went in amongst, these are the people of Yah and are gone forth out of his land. They caused the heathen, they told the heathen this and caused the heathen to say this and to believe this and to profane the name of the Most High. He wasn't able to keep his people. Verse 21, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned amongst the heathen, wherever they went. Wherever we're at, and we're telling people we're the people of the book, wherever we are at, and we're telling people we are the Most High's people. And we are not in the land. We cause the heathen to profane his name. Hear what Yah is saying. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned amongst the heathen wherever you went. Do we hear our Elohim? I'm going to bless the land, and I'm going to bring you back into the land, and I'm going to multiply you in the land to shut the mouth of the heathen, that they can't talk smack, that they can't say that I wasn't able to keep you. I'm going to do it for my name's sake, not for your sake, because you caused them to profane my name to begin with by your unfaithfulness, by your disobedience, by your rebellion, by your murmurings. You caused me to have to forsake you. You caused me to have to breach my promise to you. I promised you that if you obeyed my voice, I would make you the head and not the tail. And here you are now the tail. And the heathen laughing about it, and saying, you complete that for yourself. And then, what they won't say to you is, you know, you are stupid people. You had the Most High Elohim, and you went against him. And we're going to conspire that you go against him too. We're going to conspire that you don't ever become a nation again. We're going to do everything we can to keep you down, because we don't want you to be the head and not the tail. We want you to be exactly what you are right now, scattered, captive in the nations, not knowing who you are as a people, not obeying your Elohim. And here's the trick. We're going to give you liberty and freedom, and you're still not going to worship the Elohim of your fathers. You're going to worship our Elohim. You're going to worship the image that we paint of him. You're going to worship him in the way that we worship him. And you're still not going to obey his voice. This is to the vast majority of us. So we're going to make the laws that way. And we're going to make the laws where you can do it, but you won't. Too busy trying to secure your own identity. And even when you know who you are, you still refuse to obey. But the Most High says, I'm going to bring back a seed, and I'm going to repopulate the land, not for you, Israel, but for my holy name's sake, because my word must be accomplished. Even with a disobedient and gainsaying people. And I'm going to shut the mouth of the heathen, and they're going to feel all their shame. I'm going to make them pay dearly for even thinking that they could do this to me. But not because you're some good people. Not because you have honored me. but you dishonored me. And even in your captivity, you continue to dishonor me. And you caused the heathen to profane my name. Verse 22 again. Notice me verse 21 and 22 again. But I have pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned amongst the heathen, wherever they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned amongst the heathen wherever you went. I will sanctify my great name. I will sanctify my great name. I will set it apart. I will cause it to be respected, which was profaned amongst the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Yah, saith Yah Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now, anytime the Most High has sanctified himself in a people, it don't usually start off good. All those rebellious ones, all of us who are rebellious, and the Most High says he's going to sanctify himself in us, he's going to show the heathen, this is what happens to you when you disobey me. It's not going to be pretty, because he's going to gather all Israel. But the ones that are rebellious, they're going to be made an example out of. Oh, you say you're my people, and you can tell people you're my people, but then you still don't obey my voice. You still don't do what I say to do. You still break the covenant, even the new one. After I've written my laws in your heart, you still find a way to break it. See, I'm going to have to do a lesson on that. So when we understand that this verse stands on its own, and when we go and we look at when the Most High says, and I shall be sanctified, look at what happened to Nadab and Abihu. For when they were out of order, the Most High says, and I shall be sanctified in you before the people. They did something wrong. They burnt fire out of order, and the Most High sanctified himself. I told you to do it this way and burnt them up. So for those that are rebellious among us, and the Most High gathers us out of all the nations, and he's going to gather the Gentile with us, all those Gentiles who say they want to be a part of Israel, who believe in the Most High and fear him and keep his statutes and laws, his commandments, he's going to show them, this is why you don't want to be disobedient to me. But to the rest of Israel, he's still going to bless us. Next verse. Because see, people will go into this next verse and verses and think that this is applying to all of Israel. But they got to understand, when the Most High says, and I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, before the eyes of the heathen. Because the heathen is going to be in the land. And the heathen is going to be those that believe in Messiah. See, we need to read these verses to understand that he still calls them heathen. Because to get into his kingdom, it don't matter whether you are a heathen or whether you are a Hebrew. You still got to be saved. So maybe we'll go get that verse. Maybe we'll get it right now and we'll come back here so people don't think that this is Brother Miles just talking. I think it's in Isaiah. It might be in Amos. Give me one second here. Must be in Amos then. Let's go to Amos chapter 9 and verse 12. The book of Amos chapter 9 and verse 12. Because we got to understand, you know, we got to understand the complete picture. I don't ever want to teach half truths, no matter where they may lead to. Start in verse 11. Let's start in verse 9 so we understand where we're at. Verse 9, okay? Amos chapter 9, verse 9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. So this is going to be the new temple. And close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins. And I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen, which are called by my name, saith Yah that does this. So in the last days, all of the nations, all those people that possessed us as a possession, that thought that they were bold enough to take Israel as slaves and to mistreat us, all the nations that he sent us into, he says, all of them that are called by whose name? His name. Even Idumea, Edom. Because they're going to come to Messiah. And they're going to get salvation. But what does it say concerning them? Brother Miles didn't say this. Verse 10 again. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say that evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. If they're not counting on the Most High, if they don't believe his word, they're rebellious, if they are believing in the salvation that current Christianity is teaching, that they can sin and just, you know, say, I'm sorry. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David. We know this is coming. The Messiah's kingdom that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. Possess them where? In the kingdom. And all of the heathen, which are called by my name. There's a reason that they're coming to Messiah. They may not want to hear it. Say if Yah that does this. You think that you can do to me? You think you can defile my land the way you defile it? You think you can laugh at me? You think that you can profane my name even though my people cause you to? You think you can do this with scorn and you're going to get away scot-free? You think you can possess what belongs to me above what I tell you to do? And think you're going to get away with it? I shall bring your shame back upon you. But Israel, you don't get off scot-free. All of you that have been rebellious against me are going to die by the sword. That's why it's important that we get it right, or else that's our end right there. This is what our teachers aren't telling us. We get it in bits and pieces, and we get it fragmented, and we get it in a way that doesn't really give us the total truth. That's how we get it. Yes, ma'am. Okay. That's how we get it. And so we got the Gentiles, the heathen, those of another nation that don't really believe in the Most High, those that come to Messiah, and, you know, they just think they got a free pass in, and they think they're replacing Israel. They are not. But the Most High is still going to let them serve him, but they're going to also have to serve his people. They're going to have to be, they're going to be their servants. Because they were bold enough to take us and make us their servants. But the Most High is not doing it for our sake. Because he sent us into this punishment. He sent us into this captivity. Said, I'm doing it for my own name's sake. Not because Israel deserves to have servants, but I told Israel I would put them above and not below. I'm going to keep that promise because it is my word. It's my promise. But not because you're a good people. Not because you treated me like I wanted you to treat me. Some of y'all going to wake up and do what I said do. And I'm going to put you in your place. Some of y'all going to wake up and only be concerned with being a Hebrew. And you're going to die by the sword. Because you're still rebellious and hard-hearted. You still got no faith. You still don't obey my voice. More concerned about multiplying wives to yourselves or having a husband than you are then obeying me. So all have sinned and fallen short. I don't care whether you're the Hebrew or whether you're the heathen. Nobody gets to escape judgment. And the Most High says, but for those of you who have given it to understand, and who understand and will obey, I'm going to use you to repopulate the land. I'm going to use you to rebuild and inhabit my land. And there's not going to be any death. There's not going to be any sickness. See, people don't understand that these are end-time prophecies, end-time scriptures. And I'm going to keep my promise to the land. And I'm going to keep my promise to myself. But don't you dare get puffed up, Israel. Because I'm not doing it for your sake. I'm going to have pity on my own name. And I'm going to cause my name to be exonerated and to be glorified and to be honored like it was meant to be honored. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 36. Start in verse 21 again. Ezekiel chapter 36, starting in verse 21 again. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned, among the heathen wherever they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yah Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name. I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Yah, saith Yah Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. Gotta be having his spirit. Cannot say it enough. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Can you see why the Most High has me teaching what he has me teaching? Can you hear the word of Yah to obey his voice? Can you hear that the time, he says in the last days, that the gospel will be, the word that goes out will be to fear him, to keep his commandments, to keep his judgments, and to do them, not to do away with them, not to feel that we are not under them, not to think that we don't have to obey all of them. We have to find out what he caused to be changed and then do them. And if it don't line up with your life, you better adjust your life. If your ways are contrary to his ways, you better adjust your ways. If your thoughts are contrary to his thoughts, then you better adjust your thoughts. Not thinking that you can modify and do what you want to do. not thinking that, oh, I'm only human, so every time I fall, he's got to forgive me, because he don't. And the truth of the matter is, he may not and probably won't. He don't have to. We corrupt his word. And so each and every one of us has to make up within our own heart and within our own minds that I will not be disobedient to you from this time forward. And if your judgment comes against me, I deserve it, because I was doing these things. But now that I know better, I refuse to do these things. I refuse to go against your word. I refuse to allow anything to cause me to disobey. And I pray that you impute not my sins against me, that you have mercy. But I will do your commandments, and I will keep your judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. And you shall be my people. And I will be your Elohim. And I will save you from all your uncleanliness. And I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith Yah. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. See, we should not be proud, puffed up, anything of that manner. If we got truth in us, if the Most High has opened our eyes and allowed us to see and to hear and to perceive and to understand, we should not be puffed up any kind of way. And if we want to qualify, then you better learn about the statutes, laws, and commandments and judgments of the Most High and do them. You want to make it into the kingdom and be part of that seed that gets to multiply, remultiply in Israel when he gathers us? If we're still alive, then you've got to put yourself in a place to do it. And you can't allow anything to take you out of it. Because the truth is not being told. Half of the story, a piece of the story. But I'm here to tell you on this morning that we have got to obey the voice of the Most High, his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments, and do them, even if it hurts. Because this is what men have not done. Want to make up their own judgments. Want to modify the commandments to fit their own needs. Want to replace the people of the Most High when the Most High has not said he's replacing his people. Verse 33. Thus saith Yah Elohim, in the day that I will have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and in the waste places shall be built, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land was desolate, is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, Yah, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, Yah, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith Yah Elohim, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. We're supposed to be asking about this. Yah, when are you going to do this? When are you going to gather us out of all the nations? When are you going to plant us back in our land? When are you going to fulfill your word? He says, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase in them with men like a flock. But we got to be doing what he said to do. We got to obey his voice. We got to pour ourselves into him 100%. We're too worried about what's going on in the world. We're too consumed by really our own lives and not doing what we're supposed to do. Our lives are about everything but the kingdom. Our lives are about everything but fulfilling the word of the Most High. Wrong focus. Wrong priority. We live to satisfy ourselves instead of living to satisfy the Most High, to bring about his kingdom. Verse 37, thus saith Yah Elohim, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with the flocks of men, and they shall know that I am Yah. This is all coming. This is why the Most High has me preaching on to fear him. This is why the Most High has me preaching on learning what the covenant is. This is why the Most High has me talking about obeying his judgment. This is why the Most High has me talking about being filled with his spirit, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth, that we might have that which to hold on to. You can't hear this and the Most High open your eyes and your ears and still not do it. Because if you hear it and you understand it and you can see it and you don't do it, then are you reprobate? For sure. I'm not telling you something that I heard from another man. I'm telling you what the Most High is telling me and what he's showing me in the scriptures, where he's taking me through the scriptures, saying, teach my people as many as he should send. We ain't talking about trying to get rich. We ain't talking about trying to lift ourselves up and be somebody. We are somebody in the Most High, and we need to pick up who we are. I'm not trying to multiply men or women to myself, because I'm afraid just like you are. Am I going to make it in? I believe the Most High. I believe he's going to keep his word. And he says, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. How do I expect mercy if I don't do what he says to do? Have mercy on me. But I ain't doing what you said to do. Have mercy on me. I know the truth and refuse to do it. What should I expect? What should I expect? What should you expect? See, I don't always teach what's going to happen to the heathen and to all those that are called in Messiah's name. Because, see, brothers will use those scriptures to multiply slaves to themselves because they want revenge. But the Most High said, vengeance is mine. If the Most High lets me in, he says, hey, these are assigned to you. They are given to you for your faithfulness. Then he does that, not me. Because I'm not going to be able to have them in unrighteousness anyway. And this is what a lot of brothers, they want female slaves because they think they're just going to be screwing their behinds off. Just craziness. But we want to enter into his kingdom in righteousness. We want to enter into his kingdom obeying his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. I pray that we can hear what the Most High says when he says, I will have pity on my holy name. And why he has to have pity on his holy name. Because we have caused the world to profane it. We have caused the world to dishonor it. The heathen. By our disobedience. But we can turn it around, Israel. From this day forward, you ought to be determined and committed that you are not going to disobey. That you're going to do everything in your power to keep his voice, to keep his commandments. To do his judgments. Stop trying to keep, you know, like you love animals and you got an animal and this animal is like your family, but you don't want to give it up. But it's his judgment. If you have this animal, you are unclean. And being unclean in his eyes is a sin. Simple things like that. Because we have come to a place and a position in our life and in our understanding that, oh, this was okay all this time and I got affections and feelings for this animal, for this pet, but I want to be the people of the Most High. I realize I'm a Hebrew Israelite, but I still want to keep my heathen ways. And then get mad at the messenger. But I'm here to tell you on this morning that you better be keeping his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. And you better be obeying his judgments. And you better be living within them. Or you're not going to make it. Not where you want to make it. All the promises that he has, he's going to keep his word. And when we don't believe it, and our actions show we don't believe it, the Most High is going to use that as to judge you, to judge us. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you. Father, we put ourselves at your feet. Father, so sorry. So grieved in our spirits that we would cause the heathen to profane your name. Even by waking up and finding out who we are as a people, to know that we are the people of the book, and then to not keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments and your judgments, and tell people that we are your people, we still continue to cause them to profane your name. Out on the street corner, cussing people out. Multiplying women to ourselves and treating them less than. Not obeying the laws of the land. Being outlaws. Claiming to be your people. Wanting your blessings. But not desiring you, Father. Father, we repent, even right now, for blaspheming and causing the heathen to blaspheme and profane your name. Father, it's not important that they know who we are. What's important is that how we live our lives, and how we live our lives should say to tell everybody who we are. Not because it comes out of our lips, but because we keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, because we obey your voice and we keep your judgments, that should tell people who we are. That we do not dishonor you, but that we honor you in all that we do. That should tell people who we are. Father, help us. Help us not to be caught up in the vanity. Help us to live holy and sanctified lives according to your word, to obey your voice and to keep your covenant. And let that be our witness as to who we are. Because if we do otherwise, if we tell people that we are your people and we obey not your voice, they're going to look at us and talk stupid. They're going to look at us and say something about you they ought not say. They're going to look at us and say something they ought not say. And they're going to profane your name because of us. So, Father, help us. Give us the mindset that we will live by your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and we will keep your judgments. We will obey your voice. And that will be our testimony. We don't have to tell people that we are a Hebrew Israelite. We don't have to profess that openly to them. Our lives should say that. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. I pray that this word blessed you on this morning, that you're able to hear where our Elohim is coming from, why he's doing the things that he's doing, that we shouldn't be puffed up. We shouldn't feel like he's doing it for our sake either, as though we deserve it, but for his holy name's sake. He's going to bring the blessings on us. He's going to keep his promise for his name's sake. He's not going to breach his promise to those who are faithful to him. But he will breach his promise to those who are not faithful, who take the promise and then don't keep their end of the bargain, just as our forefathers did, who walked not in faith. Then he will breach his promise to them, and he will be sanctified in them. I'm going to bring you before the heathen, and I'm going to show them exactly what happens to those who disobey. I'm going to make an example out of you, so that I will be sanctified, set apart. You don't treat me this way and think you just get away with it. But if you repent and turn to me with your whole heart and obey my voice and keep my covenant, then I will keep my promise to you. On this evening, we will not have an evening service. I might set up a recording. I might even replay this one again. But I will be traveling on this evening, headed north to go look at the land that the Most High has put on my heart to buy. We will not have a service tomorrow morning. So the next time that we will meet will be Tuesday evening, the newcomers class. And I hope to have, news. Hope to have been able to post a video of what we're looking at purchasing, and believing the Most High to deliver into our hands such as he would have us to have. You know, I don't have the answers for everything. And I'm praying that the Most High gives us favor in all those areas that I may be weak in, that he goes before me to handle it for me, to make sure that I have favor in it, that it turns out to our best. Either way it goes, his will be done. His will. So pray for me. Pray that we are in one spirit, that we agree in one, that the Most High delivers the land to us, that he allows us to do the work that he has placed within my sight, that we are of one accord, and that there is no doubt, that there be no doubt, and that he's going to send whoever and whatever we need, that he's going to do it. Because the times that are coming up, and probably quicker than we know, and I pray that the Most High has made a space for us to actually really prepare. That's why I don't want to be slack. I know that time is getting short, and I don't know what the time is, but when I'm looking at the news, and when I hear like they have a semiconductor shortage, semiconductors are in everything. They can't make new phones right now. They're falling short on their order of phones. They're going to be falling short on their order of cars. They're going to be falling short on orders of everything. Because they don't have enough of these semiconductors to put in them, because everything is computerized today. In a car, there may be thousands of these little semiconductors You got to have all of them. You can't be missing one for the car to work. And so if there's a shortage, they can't even complete the orders on the cars. And this is not going to be just a single nation shortage. This is a world shortage being caused by the Chinese. So there's going to become some mess. There are going to be some shortages of things in the stores, and not just electronics. So there are things that are coming and storms that are coming that we need to be ready for, and that we need to not be taking our time about getting ready. But we should be doing this with a haste.
Yeah.
We should be doing this with a hurry. I know many people say they hear things, they see things, but when it really comes down to taking action, they have no action. They're hearers of the word, but not doers of it. And they can feel something's coming, but they're not really going to take no action. We don't want to be just hearers. We want to be doers. And I'm telling you, we need to be doing it in a hurry. As the Most High said, He has not revealed the time, the hour. But we should be doing this like we believe Him. Because what's first going to come is not an attack or His wrath. It's going to become the attack from the enemy. And He's going to come against the saints of the Most High. And we need to be in a position to where we either survive it or we give our life for it. Either or. But He's telling me to get out of the cities. I hear His voice and I'm going to obey. While I can. And maybe we're supposed to be making that place for people to flee to. Only Yah knows. But I will be obedient to it. And I pray you will too. And if it's not in our lifetime, at least we'll go to our grave knowing that we were obedient. Because many, the scriptures tell us, many saw the promise and died having not received it. But they were faithful, like faithful Abraham. So we just need to do what we're called to do. And if it's within Yah's, if it's within His will and He returns while we're still here, or Antichrist shows up, and the Most High has us in a place where people can run to in the wilderness, then we would have been faithful. And if He don't return in our lifetime, we still would have been faithful because it will be in the next one or the next one after that. Still, He's got to start someplace. And He's putting it in my heart to start now. So that being said, as I said, pray for us. Pray for the favor of Yah. Pray that He give me strength. Pray that He gives you strength. Pray that He sends us what we need. Let's be of one mind and one heart. If one can chase 1,000 and 2 10,000, we don't need a whole lot of people. We just need us to be faithful. This I believe. So may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you, family. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. And I can't keep you like the Most High will keep you. Remember, we got to obey his voice. We got to keep his covenant. We have to do his judgment. It is not an option. The scripture we just read didn't leave us an option. So I won't see you this evening. I'll see you again on Tuesday. I pray with a good report. I know with a good report, God is going to bless. He's going to see what he has told me to the end. And we have to commit to it with our whole hearts, period. That being said, I look forward to seeing everybody on Tuesday. And I need to go into prayer I'm going to reread Ezekiel chapter 36 again because it just centers me. It lets me know that the word that the Most High has put in me is the word for such a time as this, that I am not out of order, and that the word that we are receiving is the word of the Most High. We just have to be obedient and do it. Shalom, family. Peace and blessings. If you got to this service late, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. I encourage you to go back and listen to it anyway. Get it down in your spirit. Get it in your heart. That you might do his will. Shalom.
Jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Play me with the water. water baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no need. I need a